Hello, this is Missy Hollander from the Triangle Radio Reading Service. For the next half hour, I shall be reading to you from the News and Observer's list of restaurant reviews. The content of this program is intended for a print and visually impaired audience. Before we get started, just a quick reminder of what the ratings mean. 5 stars are extraordinary, 4 stars excellent, 3 stars above average, 2 stars average, and 1 star fair. The first restaurant review we're going to read is for Cafe Asia. They're located at 9650-145 Strickland Road in Harvest Plaza, and that's in Raleigh. Their phone number is 848-6205, and they received 3.5 stars. Just inside the front door at Cafe Asia, 9 small brass bells hang in neat rows on the wall. The bells are from Thailand, souvenirs of a visit by the restaurant's owners, Charlie and Lisa Budiswawan, to their native country. The number is significant, according to Charlie, because 9 is considered to be an especially lucky number in Thai culture. Besides offering a quaintly charming welcome, the bells are the first clue that there's more to Cafe Asia than the generic Pan-Asian eatery implied by its name, and, for that matter, by a dining room and sushi bar whose earth tones and East meets West decor suggest trendy Asian bistro. On the surface, the menu fits that mold, too, with a mix of traditional and contemporary fare, mostly Thai and Japanese, with a smattering of dishes such as Vietnamese shrimp summer rolls and Indonesian egg noodles to justify the, quote, Asian part of the restaurant's name. Look a little closer, though, and you'll discover a few pleasant surprises. An appetizer order of Thai sausage produces bite-sized segments of lemongrass-punctuated pork links on a bed of lettuce with a garnishing pistache of cilantro, scallions, shaved fresh ginger, and a lime wedge offering refreshing counterpoint. A salad of iceberg lettuce, mandarin orange segments, and almonds topped with strips of teriyaki marinated grilled chicken breast is another refreshingly different starter. The teriyaki sauce accents the meat rather than overwhelms it, making entree offerings of grilled mahi, salmon, and sirloin teriyaki tempting options even for those of us who usually find teriyaki dishes cloying. Plate presentations are attractive, but not fussy, with sprigs of fresh herbs and threads of finely shredded beet making frequent appearances as garnishes. Siam duck is a kaleidoscope of julienne red and green bell peppers, onions, and rosy-centered medallions of duck breast in Thai spicy basil sauce, flanked by twin molded cylinders of jasmine rice. But the prize for the most striking presentation goes to lobster pad Thai, a still life of toothsome noodles and crunchy bean sprouts framed by the split shell of a lobster tail, whose entire contents clearly went into the preparation of the dish. It isn't visual drama or inventiveness that sets Cafe Asia apart, however, as much as it is solid execution. The only distinctive feature about the BKK roll is its name, which is inspired by the international designation for the Bangkok airport. Unless, that is, you count the fact that its textbook rendition of a classic Thai spring roll, from savory ground chicken filling to shatter crisp wrapper, the crispy ginger roll is an equally rewarding, if not so cryptically named, vegetarian variation. Same goes for a straightforward but nonetheless satisfying stir-fry of Asian eggplant and tofu in black bean sauce, and Singapore noodles, which don't skimp on the chicken, shrimp, or other goodies, and a tropically fragrant green Thai curry loaded with snappy vegetables and plump sweet shrimp. The sushi bar offering isn't as extensive as you'll find at some dedicated Japanese restaurants, but with some 2 dozen nigiri and sashimi options, you'll hardly lack for choices. And judging by a wide-ranging sampling that included flounder, mackerel, scallop, tuna, and yellowtail, and ungagi eel, I'd say the quality is more than respectable. Prices are reasonable, too, but be advised that the sushi is priced by the piece, not by the pair. Cafe Asia's offering of 15 house specialty sushi rolls is dwarfed by the encyclopedic lists that are increasingly in vogue, but standards such as dynamite, dragon, and spider roll are present and accounted for. If you've got a yen for something you don't see, the customer request roll allows you to create your own combination. Still, it's Thailand that is the prime attraction of this culinary continent. That comes as no surprise, given the owner's provenance, not to mention the fact that they also own Lemongrass, a tiny jewel box of a Thai eatery that has thrived for 8 years in spite of an off-beaten path location. Given the couple's track record, I doubt they'll need much luck to be successful with Cafe Asia. Lucky or not, though, you've got to admit those bells are a nice touch. And again, Cafe Asia received 3.5 stars, located at 9650-145 Strickland Road in Harvest Plaza, and that's again in Raleigh, phone number 848-6205. The next restaurant review I'm going to read is in Durham, and this restaurant is Piedmont, located at 401 Foster Street. Again, that's in Durham. Phone number 683-1213. And again, it looks like they also received a rating of 3.5 stars. When I called Marco Shaw, executive chef at Piedmont, to tell them that I was reviewing the restaurant, he had just gotten back from the Durham Farmers Market. The excitement in his voice was unmistakable, and it was clear that it was not so much over the pending review as it was the local produce he had scored. I got red and gold beets for the first time in a long time, some beautiful asparagus, a ton of spring onions. The peak of the summer harvest was still weeks away, but Shaw's fervor wasn't surprising. Fife, his restaurant in Portland, Oregon, was named one of America's best farm-to-table restaurants by Gourmet magazine in 2008. The next year, the chef was lured to Durham to join Eno Hospitality Group in opening a farm-to-fork showcase called Eno Restaurant and Market. When that project fell through, the partners, who include the owners of Coon Rock Farm, a sustainable farm in Orange County, and Celia and Ritz Restaurant in Raleigh, bought Piedmont. They left the dining room, an urban chic space with high ceilings and a balcony, largely untouched. The dramatic change is in the kitchen, where Shaw took over in August. He has been dialing up the locavore focus of an evolving menu ever since. It doesn't hurt that the chef has at his disposal the pork, produce, and other provender raised at Coon Rock Farm, or the Durham Farmers Market is down the street from the restaurant. The chef is working to build relationships with other sustainable and organic farmers with the goal of offering a menu whose ingredients are as close as possible to being entirely local, or as he puts it, everything but spices and chocolate. That goal is a special challenge in the winter, but the chef rose to meet it with an herb puree that played bright counterpoint to the hash of lamb leg crepinette I savored in January. Likewise rewarding were the turnip-collared white cheddar gratin and caramelized onion sauce that were a plate companions to the grass-fed flat-iron steak that followed. Ditto the petal-thin slices of radish and celery, lightly pickled in cider vinegar, that added a sparkle to my dining companion's pan-seared North Carolina flounder. Her shrimp cornmeal fritters, which contained no hint of shrimp that either of us could detect, were disappointing. So was an undistinguished dessert presentation of apple crumble. But a miniature trifle of spice cake, orange cream, and orange preserves served in a wine goblet was stellar. Not a flawless meal, certainly, but one that showed considerable promise. A return visit 4 months later makes it clear that the promise is getting closer to being realized. The chef's loose interpretation of a charcuterie board, silky chicken liver mousse, herb-spangled smoked fish spread, ribbons of lardo and pickled charred stems is inspired. A salad of smoky tuna belly, arugula, shaved carrots, and herb sour cream garnished with house-made potato chips could be faulted only by the paucity of the featured fish. My expectations on this count were raised by the fact that the tuna belly is the first listed ingredient in the menu description. January's radishes make a return visit in May, where they join garlic chives to a much-needed peppery note to an otherwise neutral-tasting presentation of house-made tagliatelle and smoked guanciale. I'm going to spell that G-U-A-N-C-I-A-L-E. The grass-fed beef is spice-rubbed sirloin this time around, and again, it's as chewy as you could expect it to be. Its rich rewards are in its deeply beefy flavor, which holds up beautifully to the accompaniments, roasted potatoes, foraged ramps, grilled to a sweet, lightly caramelized turn, and a crowning dollop of bacon aioli. Strawberry shortcake, a towering stack of split biscuit, whipped cream frosh, and ripe berries does justice to the local fruit of the season. Coconut bread pudding strays from the locavore goal, but is nonetheless delicious. Shaw estimates he gets about 80% of his ingredients from local sources. But in terms of composition and consistency of the food on the plate, he says, I'm only 50% of the way to where I want to be. If he's right, then Piedmont, as good as it already is, has some serious upside potential. And Piedmont again received 3.5 stars, located at 401 Foster Street in Durham, and their phone number is 683-1213. The next restaurant review is going to take us to Chapel Hill, and this is The Pig, located at 630 Weaver Dairy Road. Again, that's Chapel Hill. Phone number 942-1133, and they received 3.5 stars as well. Standing in front of The Pig is a large, fanciful sculpture of the restaurant's namesake beast, fashioned from old gas canisters, cast-off chains, and other salvaged mechanical parts. Striking a splay-leg pose at once jaunty and fierce, he seems to be saying, "Don't let the name fool you. The Pig is not your run-of-the-mill barbecue joint." That boast is confirmed when you step inside and see the menu, written in pastel chalk on two large blackboards, one for the regular menu, the other for specials, behind the order counter. There, sprinkled liberally among the familiar smokehouse staples, is a wildly eclectic offering, ranging from house-cured pastrami on rye to homemade tempeh braised in a barbecue sauce spiked with Bell's two-hearted ale. The threads holding this culinary patchwork together, house-made chartreuse, strong vegetarian selection, focus on local produce and humanely raised meats, can be traced to owner Sam Sukoff. Before opening his first restaurant, Sukoff worked at the Lantern, Neil's Deli, and the Barbecue Joint, the Pig's predecessor in this space. A self-described recovering vegan, Sukoff clearly knows how to please the vegetarian palate. The sweet PLT, that sweet potato bacon, lettuce and tomato, sandwich has earned a devoted following. So has the fried oyster mushroom po' boy and other variations. Recently, fried shiitakes. Sprouts and shrooms, an inspired combination of Brussels sprouts and mushroom fried to a nutty sweet caramelized turn, should please vegetarians and carnivores alike. Same goes for a seasonably changing selection of sides that might include time-tested planks of fried squash or fried okra amped up with dry rub spices. Watch out for the collard greens, though, if you're a committed abstainer from meat. That's pork fat glistening on the surface of that potlucker. If that ambrosia potlucker doesn't erase all doubts about Sukoff's conversion to the pork side, then his cola-braised pork belly sandwich surely will. Adding a little root beer to the mix has made this mahogany glazed slab of goodness even better, imparting an anise note that's suddenly evocative of the five-spice blend in a Chinese barbecue. The changing selection runs the gamut from Bodon Blanc to the Andouille that has recently been featured in gumbo. Pastrami is available pretty much all the time. So are homemade hot dogs and bologna, which are sold by the pound to take home. Or enjoy them in the restaurant in the form of, say, a fried bologna sandwich or the Joppa Dog, which the menu informs you is topped with pickled daikon, Japanese mayo, and the exotic condiment furikake. For all its variation, the foundation of the Pig's menu is barbecue. Sukoff swears by his electric hardwood-burning smoker, favoring it over traditional methods for its precise temperature control. When it comes to meat for his Eastern-style queue, though, he's an old-fashioned whole-hog guy. The result, when it hits the plate, is moderately smoky with a medium chop and a good bit of outside brown mixed in. The meat can be a little dry, but that's quickly remedied with a splash of sauce. At The Pig, the sauce is a variation on the classic Eastern vinegar-based brew that gets its deep amber color and distinctive flavor from a touch of caramelized sugar. The Pig turns out more than a respectable beef brisket, too. Purists will like the note of the smoke ring that's a hallmark of the classic brisket, but others will counter that you can't taste a smoke ring. For my money, though, the most memorable things to come out of the smoker are the ribs. They're big and meaty, and some people actually mistake them for beef ribs. They come with a thick, tangy, sweet Midwestern-style sauce on the side, but I found it unnecessary. The dry rub and deep smokiness that permeated their flesh was all the flavor I wanted. Again, The Pig received 3.5 stars, located at 630 Weaver Dairy Road in Chapel Hill, phone number 942-1133. And now we're back into Raleigh for Foster's American Grill, and that's located at 521 Daniel Street, phone number 821-5969, and they received 3 stars. On the back of the takeout menu at Foster's American Grill is an invitation that's especially hard to pass up this time of year. Shorts and flip-flops welcome. Tempting as the offer is, though, you may find yourself a little hesitant about taking it up in Foster's elegantly understated dining room, whose walls are clad in natural stone, trimmed in mahogany, and softly lit by alabaster chandeliers. Okay, maybe in the daytime when the room, they call it the sunroom, is bathed in natural light filtered through ferns hanging in a wall-spanning bank of windows. Or in the lounge, though its deep banquets and bar stools upholstered in designer fabrics hardly cry out beachcomber paradise. It might help to know that Foster's come by its sand-between-the-toes attitude honestly. The restaurant opened in 1995 as Clarence Foster's, one of a small chain of casual eateries based in Wrightsville Beach. The Raleigh location went independent after a few years, and in 2006 the owners transformed it into Nelson's, giving the place a lavish dining room makeover and an ambitious menu to match. Nelson's lasted less than 2 years, but it left the legacy of an upscale decor that really didn't match the menu when the restaurant returned to its casual roots, reopening as Foster's American Grill in 2008. The food didn't live up to the memories of returning Foster's fans either, even though the new menu was by and large a revival of the old one. Shrimp and grits, Southwest chicken pasta, and steak Foster's, all of the old favorites were there, but something was clearly missing. That something, it turns out, was executive chef Franz Probst. The chef had cooked for 7 years at the original Foster's before moving on to work at Peak City Grill and Apex. After subsequent stints at the Ocean Grill and Bentley's, Probst has returned to Foster's last year. The chef hasn't lost his touch, though, judging by recent visits. Longtime fans of Foster's shrimp and grits will no doubt smile when they recognize the cheddary grits and rich tasso ham gravy. Steak Foster's, which serves up expertly grilled medallions drizzled with a port wine ginger juice for $15, including garlic mashed potatoes and steamed asparagus, is likely to evoke an ear-to-ear grin. Foster's signature homemade potato chips are as crisp as ever, maybe even a tad less greasy now. Cedar plank salmon, lightly glazed with brown sugar and a whole grain mustard, is still moist and faintly redolent of smoke from the wood it's cooked on. Props also brought along a few tricks he picked up during his years away from Foster's. The almost famous blackened fish tacos that won a strong following at Peak City Grill have been promoted to full famous status here. Except for a slight tweaking of the pico de gallo, though, they're otherwise the same. The chef's take on fried calamari, tossed with fried banana pepper rings, peanuts, and scallions with a sweet chili dipping sauce, is a keeper. So are his oysters Rockefeller, generously topped with applewood smoked bacon, spinach, and Parmesan cream. Props is proud of the pizzas he has added to the menu. They feature a house-made crust that's grilled in advance, then topped and baked to order. I found the resulting crust too dry and dense, though given its track record, I'd be willing to give it another try. The only other disappointment I've encountered since he returned to the kitchen was the surprisingly mediocre crab cake on a sandwich called the Krabby Patty. Foster's prices, most entrees are in the $10 to $15 range, add to its appeal, and management recently sweetened the pot with a 7-7-7 deal, a selection of 7 dishes for $7 each, offered until 7 p.m. It's available at the lunch counter, which previously served at the Oyster Bar at Nelson's, and which, come to think of it, is probably the second most flip-flop friendly setting in the entire restaurant. The first? Well, that would be the rooftop patio, which has its own well-stocked bar. On a balmy evening with a daiquiri in your hand, you just might be able to hear the sound of the surf. And again, Foster's American Grill received 3 stars, located at 521 Daniel Street in Raleigh, phone number 821-5969. And this is from Quick Bites. One of the first things that catches your eye on entering Pronto Pasta is the whimsical parade of clocks marching in a line that runs high along the dining room's cheery blue and lime walls. More than a design touch, the clocks, including one crafted from a 45 RPM record player, another from a bicycle gear, still another melting in Dali-esque fashion, are a clever reminder of the promise inherent in the restaurant's name. Jen Schraj, who opened the restaurant last summer, aimed to get your food to you in a hurry. That's not an unusual goal for a counter service eatery, of course, but at Pronto Pasta, it's made more challenging by the fact that virtually everything except the pasta is made from scratch, all for fast food-like prices of $6 to $8. I stopped in recently just to see how well Pronto Pasta lives up to its name. Short answer, my meal was delivered to my table just 6 minutes after I ordered it. Long answer, I ordered the Southwestern chicken and smoked sausage penny and was even more impressed by the dish than by the speed by which it arrived. The pasta was al dente, the nuggets of boneless breast chip meat juicy, and the vegetables, sugar snap peas, julienne red bell peppers, and a garnishing shower of scallions, bright and crunchy. The spicy cream sauce, punctuated by smoke from the sausage, was ladled on in just the right amount to dress the pasta without drowning it. The dish, or the entire menu for that matter, is a creation of Ed, a veteran of more than 20 years in the restaurant business. His experience shows in a something-for-everyone taste selection that covers the spectrum from gluten-free quinoa with spinach pesto to braised beef with marsala cream. There's even a Build-A-Mac section that lets you create your own macaroni and cheese combination from a mix and match selection of pastas, cheeses, and other goodies. I'm thinking maybe blue cheese, bacon, and tomato for my next visit. And Pronto Pasta is located at 404 East Six Forks Road in Raleigh, phone number 832-4404. And this is from Second Helpings. If you've lived in Raleigh long enough to count yourself an old-timer, you may remember Soul House on Capitol Boulevard, an exotic oasis amid a desert of North Raleigh chain franchises. The area's first Korean restaurant thrived for 12 years before it closed to make way for a gas station in 1999. That wasn't the last of the problems for owner-chef Ok Jo Chow. After moving the restaurant to Cary and changing its name to Korean Garden, Chow discovered too late he wouldn't be permitted to use the grills built into his tables for the cuisine's signature kalbi, which are beef short ribs, and bulgogi, petal-thin slices of ribeye steak barbecues, until he installed expensive vent hoods. The resilient Chow overcame that handicap by preparing the barbecue in the kitchen until he was eventually able to install the hoods. In the meantime, the food, not just the barbecue, but a wide sampling of Korean repertoire from bibimbap to the fiery seafood soup jjampong, continued to live up to his strong reputation. But the dining room never seemed to be as full as it had been in North Raleigh. The delay in getting the barbecue tables going probably hurt, and changing the name of a restaurant that had built a loyal following certainly didn't help. Whatever the reason, the place was nearly empty when my wife and I stopped in for dinner on a recent Friday night. And that's a shame, because the short ribs were as tasty and as much fun to cook as ever. And the rainbow assortment of kimchi and other condiment veggies were as bright and crunchy as I recall enjoying the first time I had them at Soul House more than 20 years ago. Granted, the ambience wasn't the cheeriest, but that's nothing a lot of people grilling ribeye and beef ribs at those tables couldn't fix. And again, Korean Garden is located at 748E East Chatham Street in Cary, phone number 388-3615. Hillsboro gets two enticing eateries. Even as gas prices approach $4 a gallon, Hillsboro has landed two new eateries that are sure to lure foodies to the historic town on the outskirts of the Triangle. Barbecue fans are already making the pilgrimage to Hillsboro Barbecue Company, which opened on April 7th, and that is located at 236 South Nash Street, their phone number 732-4647. The attraction is Eastern North Carolina Whole Hog Barbecue, cooked the old-fashioned way over hickory and oak. The backup cast looks pretty tempting, too. The menu is evolving, but an early version was loaded with the likes of smoked jalapeno dip, pork nachos, and smoked chicken wings with blackberry barbecue sauce. And that's just for starters. Entrees, which come with your choice of two home-cooked sides, cover the smoky spectrum from brisket, baby back ribs, and sausage, to smoked salmon cake, chicken, turkey breast, and pit-cooked rabbit. There's a veggie burger for those not so carnivorously inclined. Throw in some hush puppies and homemade pies, and it's no wonder I-40 is getting crowded during dinner time. Some of the traffic is no doubt headed for the historic downtown Hillsboro, where Antonia's opened in late March in the old Tupelo space, and they're located at 101 North Churton Street, and their phone number is 643-7722. The husband and wife team of Antonia Berta and Philip Smith, who have been cooking together for more than 20 years, reunited with former partner Claudia Salvador, naming Antonia's for a restaurant the three had operated for 24 years in Key West. Joining them in the latest venture is Naomi Lundahl, erstwhile owner of another Key West restaurant. But don't look for conch fritters and key lime pie on the menu. The food here is strictly Italian, or more precisely, according to the website, quote, authentic regional Italian cuisine prepared with fresh and local ingredients. That translates to a streamlined but varied offering that includes involtina di pollo, chicken breast rolled with prosciutto, asparagus, and fontina cheese, brasata di mare, top sirloin roast braised in red wine and herbs, and pastas ranging from fettuccine with mushrooms, peas, and cream to lasagna al bolognese, available in full or half portions. Antonio's Bar lives up to the Italian-inspired, locally-sourced philosophy with a selection of Old World and New World wines and local beers on tap. And again, I'm just going to give you the addresses of those two one more time. Hillsborough Barbecue Company is located at 326 South Nash Street, phone number 732-4647. And for Antonia's, and they are located at 101 North Churton Street, phone number 643-7722. And again, both of those restaurants are located in the Hillsborough area. And it looks like that we have run out of time for today's episode of Restaurant Reviews. Be sure to listen again, and I hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Missy Hollander, reading for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for a print and visually impaired audience. This program is readily available as a podcast after the broadcast. So long until next time.